Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And you know what? We got to give Goody some credit, too, because it looks like he nailed the four receivers.
I thought right? That's what we were doing here.
Yeah. We're saying Goody was right. Chewy's saying we got to extend it to the receivers as well.
Yeah, because we're so scarred by the Joe Barry tank.
She starts with the dirty talking.
All right, hold on. Time out. Whoa.
What did she say?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Not his taint. The taint. Give me another word for taint.
He tainted the pool.
Just give me another word for taint.
He just tainted this whole segment.
Yeah,
what does that mean?
I don't know. Just popped out.
Well, how did she react?
She flipped out. Just left.
Well, that's not offensive. It's abnormal, but it's not offensive.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
I want to begin today's show with a little exchange of information. Of course, I suppose you could argue that that's what we do every single minute of every single show, but just hang with me for a minute here. Chew, what temperature is it where you are currently?
We're going to get to 60. It's 56. Is that cold?
Chewy is complaining this morning about having to turn the heat on in Florida.
I didn't have a problem.
Meanwhile, it's 14 degrees here in Wisconsin this morning.
I am really dreading coming back. I'm going to have to put the heat on if it's not already on. But it's not me. It's someone who's at that age that lives with me that the body changes. And sometimes it's hot and sometimes it's cold.
I'm following you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
So the house was 68. I put it to 70, and all of a sudden I'm getting yelled at because the house is now too hot.
You put the house at 70? You
is
put
that
the
hot?
House. Yes, that's insane. 70 degrees?
That's hot? Like, what's your house at right now?
62.
Are you insane?
62 seems crazy.
Well, when we're not in those rooms, that's what it sits at. Now,
like, what do you put the AC at when it's, say, 88 degrees?
This is going to be tough for me to know. I don't know. 62?
What do you mean to know?
All right, that's equally insane. So I think your little segment here is backfiring.
I don't know.
On you.
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't know what temperature we put it at when it's hot.
62?
I don't know.
14 degrees outside?
Oh, no. I'm saying, it would be if I'm not in the rooms, right? If it's like upstairs and we're not there and I come into the bedroom to go to sleep at night, it's probably sitting at 62. Now I might crank it up a little, like to 64 to go to sleep, but it's sitting at 62 when we're not in the room. Is that way too cold?
That's cold.
Yeah.
Well, we're not in the room. We're not up there. Why would we heat a portion of the house we're not in?
Aren't the bedrooms upstairs?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going up to the bedroom. I'm existing in the living space.
So
I'm existing
let me ask
in the
you
family
you have a
room.
Thermostat in every room?
We have three furnaces in our house.
What on
earth? So when you go to the hotel on the road and it's, let's say it's cold out,
like Michigan this past weekend. We were in Michigan.
What do you set the temperature at when you go into the room?
Well, I like it warm. So I will crank that bad boy up to about 70, 71.
Okay, you sound like my wife. Are you sure you were born when
1981.
Yes,
not there yet. Maybe creeping up on it, but not there yet. Wait, okay. I want to get to this, though. You said that you're dreading going home because of the temperature. I think you're dreading going home for another reason. I think there's something else that's hanging over
is.
Your head.
Well, my life has turned into just one big negotiation. Everything. So here's the deal. My wife came here Sunday. Because she did Thanksgiving there. I did it here because two of the kids were here and two were back there. One couldn't make it because he was playing football. But she set all the indoor Christmas stuff up. Now, we're returning on the 11th. And I don't think you need to put the outside lights up. And I'm not winning the argument. No one goes up our street. There's only how many days? There'll only be 12 days left till Christmas. I don't think they need to be outside.
Wait, 11 plus 12 is...
math.
Ish. Christmas adjacent.
Are your outside lights up?
Well, no. Dario famously will never put lights up on our house again because I took them down at the end of September. But again, to be fair, I was grieving. So let's get past that. Your argument is you shouldn't have to put the lights up because, one, you're not going to be home until December 11th. And then you're leaving again when? You're leaving again the 26th. So you'll only be home for 15 days. Should you have to put up the outdoor Christmas lights for 15 days worth of potential joy that they would bring, it sounds like exclusively your wife?
Yeah, because she's sentimental. She's a traditionalist. And here's another thing. I feel like I'm in the middle of a CBA right now because I don't see a need for ornaments on the tree. I just don't. They have these nice ones. I got an $89 tree for down here that has lights on it at Costco. That's enough. It's a clean, pretty look. Is there a need for ornaments on the tree?
Oh, you're man. Out of your damn mind.
He is speaking my language so hard right now.
But why, Joshy?
I'm not sentimental. Well, that would be the reason for putting ornaments on the tree, assuming that the ornaments are the kind that maybe you collect when you go from place to place, right? You go on vacation in Colorado, you grab one at Red Rocks. You go on vacation to Niagara Falls, you grab one there. You take a work trip to, Orlando. You swing through a gift shop and grab one there. That would be the sentimentality argument for putting ornaments on a tree. But last night, we did the old decorating the Christmas tree, and I got to tell you, 45-minute process for the whole thing. Took me about 15 minutes to get in the holiday spirit, okay? The first 15 minutes, I was grumble, grumble, grumble face. I was grinching my way through this thing because it is a lot of work. You take it. Now, we use fake trees, so come at me if you want, whatever. We use fake trees. Fake trees, we pull them out of the boxes. All of the branches are all jammed up, right? You take it out of the box and you have you spend the first 20 minutes fluffing this thing like you're, you know, one of those people.
Fluffing? Yeah, okay.
A fluffer?
Exactly. So you spend the first 20 minutes.
It doesn't take 20 minutes, but.
It's a big tree, Chew, okay? Yeah. It's a big tree. So you spend the first 20 minutes doing that, right? Bending the branches into a tree-ish shape. And then... It's all the, and the kids want to help, and the kids want to put the, and then the whole bottom of your tree has ornaments, but there's nothing on the top. Like, it was a grind. It was a chore. I did not enjoy it for the first 15 minutes.
Like, when you have young ones like you, ornaments on the tree are fine. But when you become an empty nester, the kids don't care. They don't care. They're coming home late from college, or they're coming home late from their life. It's just... I don't see a need for it. Will I win this battle or no?
If you're going to put up the tree, you put the damn ornaments on the tree.
No, you don't.
That's
all the work. Why even bother then?
It's half-assed.
But the tree has the lights on it. The tree has the lights.
Yes.
And frankly, when you turn off all the other lights in the house, all you can see are the damn lights anyway.
Why do you need the ornaments? What do the ornaments do?
Well, because there's not only sentimental ornaments. There's colored ornaments. They look the tree, make the tree look more full. They reflect more light. It makes it look better.
And this is weird coming from a Pollock.
I'm not sure we can take Joshy's advice on this, since Joshy wasn't allowed to touch the Christmas tree. Joshy was more of an observer for the decorating portion of his family's program.
None of those ornaments would have gotten on the tree without me applying those hooks.
Oh, that's
like
right, buddy. You did a big, good job.
If somebody in my house was saying, let's just put up the tree with the lights, which most often are already on there, so you're just plugging it into a wall and saying, yep, that's enough. Put the... Are you putting a star on top, an angel on top, or are you just...
No, it's just clean. It's a very clean look.
This is preposterous.
No, we're star people.
I'm not even a Christmas guy, and you guys are making me into, like, Mr. Christmas. I'm Kris Kringle compared to you freaks.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. When you go home to McGuanago to your parents' house, do you spend time looking at the ornaments on the tree?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, what do you mean?
He must have a beverage or a substance in his hand.
Yeah.
You got something helping you through that, buddy.
It's often in the room that we're all sitting
Something's giving you an assist. You're over there staring at the Christmas
tree. Do you guys have bad experience? What's going on with your Christmases?
It's just a lot. And listen, Chu, I'm with you on the lights, okay? You should not have to put the lights up. 15 days? He's going to be in Wisconsin for 15 days.
The lights I'll stand with. You guys aren't even really there. Outside lights are for children in the neighborhood. If there's no one else around, really.
Plus, he's got that long, winding road and the moat and the drawbridge, so nobody can even see him on the castle.
Let's say on a Tuesday night, other than my neighbors driving up, there might be one car. So what the hell you put the lights up for? The problem isn't putting them up. I leave at like 10 o'clock the day after. When do you take them down? May?
Yeah, I don't know. You should make a safety argument. You should say you're getting a little older and climbing up on a ladder is not the safest thing anymore for you.
What do you think? I hate having to compromise like our abilities. I hate having to use that as like an argument because then it gets held against you later on down the road. So it's always like dangerous. That's a slippery slope, man.
I could use the concussion and then just put my ornaments or my outside lights at the neighbor's house and just say I got confused.
Red sock in the washing machine. That's what that is. I think, look, you mentioned the CBA, and I think this might be a path that we need to follow. Can you negotiate some of these Christmas traditions, some of these Christmas responsibilities? Can you say, I don't want to put the lights up this year, but I will put ornaments on the tree, right? Like, if you establish a baseline of not wanting to do any of it, and then you give a little, it feels like maybe that could be a win for you, big guy.
Yeah, I think that might work. Because I did a nice job decorating down here.
You did?
It's a little sparse, but...
See, so like you buy Christmas decorations for all of your houses?
Two of them.
That was a trick. I was trying to get you to admit how many houses you own.
More than two.
People are giving me a hard time on the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and text line this morning, 800-990-3776. Do I not know how temperatures work? Terry in the 920 says, I don't think Jen knows how the thermostat works. And then Nick in Waukesha saying, 62 is legit. Don't let these guys shame you about the temperature, Jen.
Ah, that's cold.
Again, it's when we're not, let me be very clear.
No, I know.
It's when I walk into the bedroom, right? And I'm about to go to bed, and we haven't been in that room for, hours. Maybe I went up there to brush my teeth and wash my face or whatever. And now I'm adjusting the thermostat. That's when I look at it and go, I could crank it up a couple, right? 64 to sleep.
But my house is like 68, 69. That's usually where you set it. 66 is still too cold.
You think?
Yeah.
But I'm sleeping under a comforter. I'm sleeping under a blanket. Like, I'm toasty, man.
Now, what's the downstairs at 70?
When we're down there, probably 66, 67.
What are you turning the thing down when you go to the grocery store and you turn it back up? I mean,
yeah, you guys are tinkering
aren't the
too
kids
much.
There
you
all
think?
The time?
No, our kids are in school.
So you're turning down the thermostat daily or up daily?
Well, we have it set. We're not peasants. I mean, we have a thing.
Is it motion detected? So when someone enters the room, like how are you guys treating your thermostat like lights? You turn them on and off every time you want. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is PTSD from my childhood, right? Famously, my father was put a sweatshirt on, right? If you walked into a room with your teeth chattering, his response would not be, oh, let me turn the thermostat up. It would be, go put on another layer of clothing. I think that might be what's happening here. I think we have a little PTSD at the Melendez household.
I think you're right. My father used to turn the furnace off in, like, I don't know, April, May, knowing that we played sports and we had to get four showers in. So my brother, who was younger than me, was the biggest a-hole on the planet, would take the third shower, and sometimes I would get the last shower. So he'd sit in the shower until all the warm water was gone.
That's how he knew how long to his shower yeah. needed to go.
Yeah.
Are we out of hot water yet? No, I'm going to stay.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. So, yeah, PTSD. We all have it. Not Joshy, because you're too young.
Joshy, do you have PTSD for anything?
I mean,
no holiday PTSD?
Not really. No, I mean, when I was robbed PTSD? At gunpoint, that feels like PTSD.
When did this happen?
I feel like he's got us there.
Another
too.
Story?
Let's see if we can get to that this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Let's see if we can get to Josh's story about being robbed at gunpoint, which does feel like it should skyrocket to the top of the old power rankings.
And to make it even better, it was 2 days before Christmas.
Oh, see, it is a Christmas PTSD. 800-990-3776. Should Chewy have to put up the Christmas lights for 15 days? He's going to be in Wisconsin for 15 days. His wife wants the lights on the outside of the house. He doesn't want to do it. Should Chewy have to put up the Christmas lights for 15 days in December? I want to talk to you guys about my friends over at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. It is in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, an all new Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. If you haven't been there recently, guys, there's been a lot of upgrades, a lot of restaurants, a lot of new games. It is non-smoking. It is fantastic. And you can really enjoy an evening at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Heck, maybe you don't even want to put any money in the slot machines. Maybe you just want to sit there and have dinner and have a nice meal and conversation or a beverage with your friends. I highly recommend spending a few hours at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Are you ready to spark something new? Light up your senses at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Explore more at paysbig.com. That's paysbig.com. Jason Wilde coming up next.
Ready? Put.
All Packers, all the time.
Theoretically, you could certainly draft another quarterback now with the holes you have on the roster and the fact that you just seem committed to drafting defensive players in the first round.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically them. Or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Boucher Automotive. With 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from, Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you. Also sponsored by Century Foods. Win $700 in groceries from Century Foods as Century celebrates their 70th anniversary. Find the weekly code on Century's Facebook or Instagram and enter to win.
Lots of folks weighing in on the old thermostat argument on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line this morning. Frankie in Brookfield saying, I live with my mom and this sounds like the arguments I've had with her. She's more like Jen where she wants the heat off to save money and she gets hot easily. My point is, I make decent money. If I want my house to be 69 or 70, then let me do that, Mom! That from Frankie in Brookfield. I guess keep getting us your reactions on the old thermostat debate that we are having here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are joined now by Jason Wilde, host of Wilde and Tausch, and our Packers reporter. Jason, how are you doing this morning?
I'm cold. How are you guys?
I almost called you an insider, and then I was like, why do I feel like Jason doesn't like the term? That's what I thought. So there we go.
Guy.
He's our Packers guy. He's officially the Packers guy. Interesting reactions, you know, rolling in yesterday and in the days after the Packers victory. And now we turn our sights to the game against the Chiefs. I heard Ben Bruss talking yesterday on their little program in the afternoon about how Jordan Love is a top five quarterback in the NFC right now. You agree with that assessment?
He is for the last three games, for sure. I mean, look, we've been doing this a lot now this year, right? Like, and Tausch has kind of, on our program, been riding the pendulum in a big way. Like Miley Cyrus on that wrecking ball.
How in the world did you have that exact image? That is exactly the image I had in my head when you said riding the pendulum. Immediately my brain went to Miley Cyrus on the wrecking ball. Oh my gosh.
Tausch in that same outfit's a visual.
Tausch in that same outfit.
That would be something. There's no denying that. So look, I'm just glad he's playing well. I've said many times that I really like Jordan as a guy. I had my trepidation about how good he was going to be. You know, remember, you know, I see all the practices, including his first year during COVID when I'll never forget sitting in Lambeau Field wearing a mask in a seating section outside all by myself. Like no one, you couldn't, we all took like a section. So I was in like 108, and then Domofsky was in 110. And watching him, and I was like, God, this guy never lets it rip. He is inaccurate. He's indecisive. I don't know about this guy. And what he has evolved to, and especially in these last three games, is awesome. It's just terrific to see him experience the success. I was talking to him a little bit yesterday, and you can kind of, I know he's always been a confident dude, kind of a quiet confidence, but you can tell just in normal conversation, he's feeling it, and good for him. That said, I think he's going to have some more, another game or two or three where you're like, oh man, is he regressing? Is he reverting? And Tausch hates it when I say this, but I firmly believe it. Growth is not linear. And so he's going to have some downs, but he has hit some peaks that I was not expecting him to hit at this point in the season. I was thinking the last five games or so would be where he'd kind of get it going. And he is ahead of schedule. They're going to win more games than Gabe and I thought they were going to. And I think Packers fans, fifth best, 10th best, whatever, wherever you want to put him in the rankings, I don't care. Just be, I would hope, if you're a fan, really happy that he is where he is after these last three games.
Jason, is he eligible to sign an extension, or is there a league rule we don't know about?
So my guy at the league did not get back to me yesterday. I assume they've got a lot going on. But we talked about this last week too. I am almost certain that the rule is you can't sign an extension within 12 months of an extension. And that's what he signed last May. So, again, these are all things that I know fans and people like to talk about. Like, the whole idea of that half-measure contract was so they wouldn't have to extend him during this season, and they wouldn't have to give him the fifth-year option to have him under contract for next season. So, I thought it was – I will say this. I thought something that was really interesting yesterday was for the same group of coaches that were working very hard to pump up their young guys publicly and talking about how, we don't have the results, but we can see the improvement and the growth. And now we can't, these guys aren't rookies anymore and all this other stuff. Whether it was Jason Vrabel, who's in charge of the passing game, or it was Tom Clements, it was almost as if they were now, I don't want to say overcorrecting, but now they were kind of saying, look, there's going to be more mistakes. There's going to be, the key is consistency here. And in Jordan's case, Tom Clements talking about how we think he's a good player, but, good players are consistent. It was almost as if he's, again, trying to maybe pump the brakes a little bit. Like, I don't think that they, even if they could sign him to an extension, I don't think, as excited as they are for what they've seen in the last three games, I don't think they're like running to Associated Bank to make a withdrawal from their account to give it to Jordan. I just don't. I think they're really happy and they're really excited, and they look forward to him continuing on this trajectory so they can pay him sometime either in the off season or early next season. But I think that they are even still reminding themselves, hey, history is littered with young quarterbacks who have great moments and great stretches and ultimately aren't good enough to do what you really want to do, which is win a title.
Jason,
why did they do it with Aaron then, Jason? Because the numbers are very similar, and we talked about the youth Jordan had to do it with. Why were they so quick to sign Aaron years
ago? Because totally different circumstance, Chu. He was drafted in 2005. That was before the fifth-year option situation. So while they had him under contract for the 2009 season, if they wanted to, and Ted is different than Goody, remember, too, even though Jordan Love is Goody's guy and he staked his reputation to it. I remember talking to Ted about this on whatever it was, October 31st or November 1st, 2008, and he was adamant, which he wasn't very often, that it wasn't because this was not like some sort of recent development, that they were more convinced I think, earlier on about how good and how special Rodgers was than these guys have been of how good and special Love could be. So that's one of the things. Two, again, this half-measure contract that they signed him to in May was such a, and I said it at the time, and it was just such a smart move because it shifted so much of the risk with him off of the organization. He got some guaranteed money. He got paid more this year than he would have otherwise. But, you know, the Giants are the team that were the cautionary tale, right?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't do a half-measure contract with Daniel Jones. He gets them to the playoffs last year. He plays well enough that they're like, okay, I guess he's the guy. And they give him whatever it was, 4 years, $160 million. And now they're like, dang it, this guy wasn't any better than Tommy DeVito, who we got in there now. So I think they've played this perfectly. They have been very patient with Jordan. They have seen the improvement now. They're encouraged by it. And they will be very excited to pay him. But they're not going to do it prematurely, I don't think.
Jason Chu was very interested in talking about the defense yesterday, so I imagine he'll have a question for you about that and Joe Barry's future, etc. I don't want to say it's an embarrassment of riches because that feels a little hyperbolic at this point, but man, what they've got going on in the secondary right now and these guys getting healthy, it does feel like they have a lot of options. How do you feel they are going to manage the guys who are coming back from, you know, some of these injuries and whatnot, Jair and Eric Stokes, etc., with how well the replacement crew has played?
Yeah, that was one of the things that Matt LaFleur talked about yesterday. Just the, you know, this is obviously a great development. I do hate the phrase. There's a number of cliches in sports that I kind of cringe at, but the great problem to have is one of my favorites to be irritated with, because you're acknowledging within that it's still a problem, right? And, you know, Jonathan Owens playing as well as he did makes you think, well, even if Rudy Ford is healthy enough to play against the Chiefs, that Jonathan Owens probably deserves to keep starting, even though you're not supposed to lose your job to injury. You know, I like Darnell Savage. I think he's kind of answered the bell after getting benched last year, but I also think he's occasionally inconsistent. Now, that said, I think having him back in the lineup as opposed to, say, an Anthony Johnson, who's a rookie seventh-round pick, is an upgrade. Carrington Valentine has been a great surprise. I'm not going to necessarily put him in the Mark Tauscher seventh round pick category, but he's somewhere in that conversation of another seventh round pick that turned out to be a pretty darn good football player. We'd be talking about him differently if Quentin Johnston catches that ball where, you know, Valentine just lets him go behind him and could have been the go-ahead touchdown for the Chargers. It's great that they're going to have some options. Let's be honest. You know, Eric Stokes, how much can you count on him, right? He comes back from a season-ending injury that kept him out for basically a year, comes back, plays four special team snaps, and pulls his hamstring. So there is reason to be kind of cautious about how much is it realistic that we're going to get something out of him. So, yeah, it's great, but the last guy that said something about champagne problems in the secondary, Joe Barry, watched Jair Alexander now miss more games than he's played, Rasul Douglas be traded to the Buffalo Bills, and both of his starting safeties get hurt. So the old saying that Ted used to have about your one or two sprained ankles away from being thin at a position, we saw that in the secondary, but to their credit in the last several games, those guys have delivered.
So, Jason, we asked Rob flat out if Barry is coming. He said there's no doubt in his mind he will be the defensive coordinator next year. Do we need to just rally around him, even though I don't think he's the guy, but it is what it is, and we're moving forward with it?
So I was saying this.
Bash him as much, which is hard to do.
I was saying this to KBN yesterday, like, and you know this from having played in the league for so long. We call players that are just, just a guy, right?
Yeah.
Just a guy. And I think when it comes to him as a coordinator, that's what he is, right? He's not, he's a guy that can if you put him in player terms, he's a guy that can play for you, and sometimes he's going to make mistakes that get you beat, and sometimes he's going to play well enough for you to win. I mean, their defense has played well enough to win in virtually every game this season. Now, is that because their defense is good, very good, great, dominant? I think it's more likely because of what Tom Brady talked about a couple weeks ago, which is that there's just such mediocrity slash crap in terms of football teams. I mean, the NFC, like, I listened to the game with Kevin Harlan on the drive back from ballet practice last night. I mean, well, that's exciting football. Him and Kurt Warner on Westwood One were, like, Kurt Warner was cracking jokes about, hey, this is great, it's 3rd and 8, they have to throw the ball down the field. And then they would still hand off in some of those instances. He was really funny. So what I guess what I'm saying is you only can play who you're facing that week. And if you do your job, then you deserve credit for it. And he does. Their defense has done the job far more often than it hasn't. I have been saying all along, and you saw it on Thanksgiving, one of the things that they really need to do more of is take the football away and give an inexperienced offense a short field. They did that a couple of times in Detroit, and they beat a team that I think most of us would still agree is better than them. That fourth down stop that they came up with on special teams on the fake punt, which I still think that I love Dan Campbell being aggressive, but when you think you have a team that's better than the team you're playing, you don't necessarily have to play to your risky type all the time. I mean, that handed the Packers the Watson touchdown. I mean, that was just a bad idea. And so long answer longer, I think he's good enough. And I think he's good enough that Matt LaFleur doesn't like firing people. I mean, I'm guessing Rob, because he used it on our TV show, guessing Rob mentioned that it took him 2 weeks to fire Mo Drayton, and then he considered keeping Mo Drayton on the staff anyway in a lesser capacity. So Matt doesn't like to fire people. And so I don't think that Joe Barry's going anywhere, and I do think that he has been better. But, you know, this idea that we owe him an apology or whatever else, I'm not quite there yet.
I don't know if you did it on purpose or not, Jason, but a few moments ago you uttered the word champagne problems, which could be an Easter egg into what I want to get to, which is, have you considered the possibility that the author and the writer of Champagne Problems, the story, Taylor Swift, may in fact be in attendance for the Packers-Chiefs game this weekend at Lambeau Field?
I've considered that possibility. Sydney would like to be rewarded for her outstanding work in the Jingle for Your Kringle campaign by coming up to the press box with me for the game and just wandering the halls.
Just wandering around.
Just wants to see if she can bump into Taylor. My understanding, per her, she's my resident Taylor Swift expert. Maddie is more of a Pink fan. Is that her international tour, which there was apparently some trouble in Rio, is over or has at least hit a break, and so she will be available to be coming to Lambeau Field on Sunday night. I'm definitely aware, definitely hopeful, not as hopeful as Sid, and I'm trying to figure out. I haven't called in any favors to send anybody to games during my time covering the team, and I wouldn't be sending Paula and the girls to go to the game. They would be going to the game to just, like I said, kind of wander the club level, hoping to bump into her when she goes to the bathroom.
You know what, though? If they want a buddy to do that with them, you let me know, because I would be happy to make that trip, wander the halls with your lovely ladies, and see if we could run into an international superstar. He's Jason Wilde. Thanks for hanging out with us, Jason. We appreciate all the insight.
All right, I'm taking you over Rossini, though, who I saw, like, say hello to her as she was arriving at a game, and then Diana got all excited that she said hi back or whatever.
She did.
So I would be counting on you to take that to the next level. So, I'll do some investigation, and we'll discuss it again on Thursday.
I appreciate it. Maybe we could offline about it. Diana told me that the one big takeaway she had from that fleeting interaction was that Taylor is gorgeous. She said, Jen, she is stunning in person. I said, well, she's stunning on television. She goes, I know, but I'm just saying, like, she walked past me and she was gorgeous. I said, okay, good to know.
Yeah, she's got good taste.
People say that same thing about Chewy.
Good taste, tight ends, yeah. It's all about the tight end, Jason.
That's what I've heard.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning. Have you guys been to St. Kate the Arts Hotel yet? Join them throughout the holiday season for special events that will get you in the festive mood. They've got spectacular brunch events. They've got a holiday marketplace. They've got a one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experience for you and your loved ones. St. Kate has a celebration happening nearly every week through the holiday season. Go to their website for more information. StKateArts.com/holiday. StKateArts.com/holidays with an S. Sorry. Want to make sure I got that. Holidays. StKateArts.com/holidays.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm right-handed. I'm with Gabe here. I feel more confident in my left hand here, just cupping right now, other than my other hand cupping.
Mostly because I also...
I get a lot more work out of the right hand.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We got bad blood. You know it used to be mad love. So take a look what you've done. Because baby, now we got bad blood. Hey, now we got...
I guess bad blood could be the way you describe the two teams playing last night on Monday Night Football.
Ugh.
And that, my friend, is an appropriate reaction. I don't know what that was, but I don't think it was football. I wouldn't even consider it football-adjacent, football-esque, the Bears and Vikings last night. Now, I do suppose the outcome was the most favorable one that Packers fans could have asked for, right, Joshy? I mean, we were rooting for the Bears to win that game because it handed the Vikings the loss, which helps the Packers in the NFC standings.
Yeah, via the playoff odds at the New York Times, it is 50-50 the Packers and Vikings make the playoffs. So we got closer to what we needed to happen.
Vikings coming up on the bye week. The bottom line, Chu, is watching, even if you watched a portion, a small portion, and you didn't want to expose yourself to all of that disgustingness for a long extended period of time, the reality is Packers should easily beat both of those teams, right? And the good news is they're on their schedule. So I'm going to go ahead and circle those, and I think I already had, to be honest with you. Dub, dub. Dub, dub. Dub, Bears. What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure a lot of people, myself included, had Detroit beating Green Bay pretty handily.
And? And what?
What does that mean for me?
The Bears, yes, that should be a win, but playing in Minnesota... is never easy, even as bad as they are.
And they're real bad.
They're both bad. It's just like, I don't remember football being this bad this year. I mean, it starts, try watching Iowa against Nebraska.
That's pretty much what this was.
Yes. A lot of 10-3s. It's just like.
A lot of punting, a lot of field goals.
But even, I mean, Jen, the best game this entire weekend might be Alabama-Georgia.
Without a doubt.
Ooh, interesting. I mean, wait, you're not interested in Oregon-Washington on Friday?
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that could be pretty luscious. So the... luscious. The
you're saying that the two best games...
maybe in college.
Ooh.
Right?
Kind of like that thought. Put it on the poll, Joshy. Is it possible that the two best games this weekend, two best football games this weekend... will be at the college level, Oregon-Washington in the Pac-12 championship, which, by the way, I believe that's in Vegas. If that game wasn't on Friday night, I would have made a real push, real campaign for college game day to be on that game.
Jen, you don't wish you were going to Indianapolis for Michigan versus Iowa?
Oh, let me think. No.
I won't watch a play of that game.
I don't know that I will either, to be perfectly honest with you. I think we all know that Michigan's coming out of that sucker. It has basically punched its ticket. Michigan will be the one, guaranteed team in the college football playoff, right? Guaranteed.
Yes.
Because they're going to beat Iowa, and then they're in. That's it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that's where I will be on Selection Sunday. I will be in Ann Arbor. I'm sure they will roll out the red carpet, or the blue carpet, I'm sure is what it is up there in Ann Arbor, for me, employee of ESPN, reporter. I'm sure that they're going to be incredibly hospitable for me in Ann Arbor.
Are you excited about the Final Four? I mean, Georgia's going to beat Alabama, right?
I don't know. What if Alabama? Georgia's had a hell of a hard time at the Mercedes-Benz Dome.
This is easy. All you got to do is root against Michigan. We can all join hands across America and root against Michigan to lose.
Why are you a hater?
They might win the whole dang thing.
I mean, you got a lot of pent-up anger.
Well, I'm not angry at them. They're just weirdo freaks.
But you were angry yesterday at Craig Council for just simply.
Because I'm a sports fan. I enjoy watching things. Hating a team is part of the game. That's what happens here.
Hating Craig Council?
And people. Athletes.
Folks weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, no, Chew, Eagles 49ers this weekend will be the game of the weekend.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Why do I feel like that's a foregone conclusion, Eagles dub? No? Am I wrong?
I think San Francisco's the best team in football. When healthy, they are hands down the best team in football. They beat everybody. Agree or disagree?
They've said this about them for like three years.
Right, and they haven't gotten to the championship game.
Yeah, but they haven't been healthy. I said by that, I mean healthy, Super Bowl. Right, when healthy.
Are you saying that with Brock Purdy under center, they're not healthy?
Yes. Well, last year was a train wreck because Purdy goes down early in the game, and then they had to put in, I don't even know who they put in. But I think I think San Francisco has the most talent. Why am I hearing crickets?
I'm just thinking. I'm allowed to do that. I just like blurt things out without thinking, but occasionally I'd like to, you know, marinate on something for a moment.
It was like 2 seconds of crickets, too.
Honestly.
You over there pause for a full 5 seconds sometimes.
And then you get mad when we jump on you. Like,
because I can't hear, I can't see.
Now, this to me feels like the excuse you should be leaning on for the Christmas lights.
Decorating the neighbor's house is the best.
No.
Because she won't know what to do.
No, because then you still have to decorate.
Yeah.
If you're going to decorate, you may as well do your house.
But you might end up in a home, too.
Yeah, but I'd never have to do it again, Jen. That's the thing. That would be the trade-off. No?
Again, if you're going to put the effort in to decorating a home, I feel like it should be your home.
What if you do it so poorly that she doesn't want you to do it anymore?
Oh, what if you use like the staple gun and you staple it to the door?
Let me tell you what. She doesn't care. This is all for pain and spite.
No, that's not true. She must like the lights on the house.
I offered to decorate here in Florida, but I got crickets. She just wants to see me in pain, and she wants it 10 below zero.
I don't think that is true. I don't think your wife is some... It's not misogynistic, right? It's sadistic. I always get them confused. One is for me, and one is for other.
Misogynistic is about women, specifically.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Wait, so it's sadistic and masochistic.
Yes, that's self.
Misogynistic. That sucker's just lodged in my brain, you know, from life. All right, let's get to Pottawatomie, guys. In the heart of downtown Milwaukee, there's an all-new Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. There is a table waiting for you, 12 bars and restaurants, a winning seat at 40 table games, 3,000 slot machines, plus the thrill of bingo, full-service sports betting, and so much more. So if you are ready to spark something new, can I suggest the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel? Light up your senses at Pottawatomie. Explore more at paysbig.com. That's paysbig.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie.
You don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how to
it ever?
It, so it's,
yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No Gabe this week as he is taking some much-deserved vacation time. But Chew, yesterday in my inbox, guess what I found?
A coupon?
That's a good guess. Yeah, no, that was Friday when everybody sends out the emails and you have to spend the whole day unsubscribing to the emails that you accidentally signed up for all year long. No, my Heisman ballot. Got the old Heisman ballot in the inbox yesterday, and it said you can start voting today, which was yesterday. I don't think anyone should vote on any awards until after the championships. I think those are like make or break performances. So if I were to sit down today and vote for Jaden Daniels, you know, the quarterback, the LSU quarterback who doesn't play in championship weekend, I think that's a disservice to Bo Nix, who will be playing in the Pac-12 championship, and Michael Penix Jr., who will be playing in the Pac-12 championship, and Milroe, who we just watched have the Milroe miracle last week, Auburn versus Alabama. who will be playing against Georgia in the SEC championship. Or, well, I was going to say J.J. McCarthy, but he has fallen off in the Heisman race. Am I wrong in that stance? I don't think you should vote until all the games have been played.
I would agree. Are you? What kind of streak are you on here? Aren't you? Haven't you lost a couple in a row?
Wait a minute. First of all, it's not betting. I'm not betting.
Yeah, but don't you want to pick the guy that ultimately wins?
Don't you have a history of picking the wrong one?
You can't pick the wrong one. Just 1 year I didn't put Devontae Smith on my ballot. My bad. Oopsie poopsie. That was the only year. Every other year I've nailed it.
I mean, I think I would rather go with the group and consider it a win instead of going out. No?
I don't think that you should try. This isn't like fantasy football where you're going to like outsmart your competitors and grab, you know, Tom Brady before anybody knew that Tom Brady was going to be the GOAT. I don't think that you do that here. I think you have watched the games. You see who has stood out. I do think there's too much emphasis on a Heisman moment, though. I think there's something to be said for consistency and consistently week in and week out being the reason why your team wins. So, again, I know a lot of people are waiting for, like, a Heisman moment. I think there are some people who are saying that Milroe even had a Heisman moment. I mean, he's not even in my top five, to be perfectly honest with you. I would make the argument that if Ohio State beat Michigan, I would have put Marvin Harrison Jr. if he had a big... But I think Rome Odunze, the kid from Washington, is actually having a better season than Marvin Harrison.
Really?
Fair or unfair, Joshy?
I mean, I think it's fair when you look at the pure numbers of it, but I think in terms of Marvin Harrison and pure excellence at what he does, there's few other people who we've ever seen in college football.
Which brings me back to my point about championship weekend, though. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be watching from his couch. Uh-huh. Rome Odunze is out there with a chance to punch his team's ticket to the college football playoff. It's got to mean something.
Well, who's having a better season, Bo Nix or Penix?
What? Bo Nix.
I think numbers-wise,
yeah.
But Penix is electric, man. So that's why this game on Friday night is going to be huge for sorting all that out. And if you went ahead and submitted your ballot already, I think you're doing a disservice to those guys.
I agree.
Are you doing a disservice to the guys who necessarily aren't playing in it, though? Because if somebody performs so well, but they aren't in a championship game for whatever reason, they now get downgraded, basically, in your mind, and they didn't even have an opportunity.
Should that matter? Should it matter? No, I'm being serious. Like, should the ability to get your team, your performance as a Heisman candidate, the ability to get your team to your league's championship game be considered?
Well, I mean,
yeah, I think there's an element of it where you have to look past stats. I don't think it can be completely stat driven.
Do you think Caleb Williams is the reason USC lost as many games as they did?
Yes.
No, their defense. Well, yes.
The defense couldn't stop anything. Like, they gave up an absurd amount of points.
Is he even on the ballot, Jen?
I mean, he'll be on the ballot, but he's not going to be in. I don't think he'll be in New York.
Seems not good enough.
I wonder if Harrison will be in New York.
People like him.
I would think, right?
Yeah. Let's dive into this a little bit more in the second hour of the show, because I think Heisman is one of those things that universally people kind of get into. I know a lot of people bet on it. But my whole thing is you shouldn't submit your ballot until the championship games go final, because somebody could have a performance there that puts them over the top and eclipses what somebody did during the regular season. It's an inexact science. Let's get into that when Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this.